Bessiana Boyd, who married a herring, was another member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska. She was born in Kansas about August 1st, 19... arrived in Alaska about August 1st, 1900. Bessie Ann Boyd was married in Dawson October 27th, 1900 to John Phillips Herring. Two children were born to that marriage. Calvin Boyd Herring, born in Seattle March 20th, 1902, and William Loudon Herring, born in Caribou, Yukon Territory, February 24th, 1906. William Herring died in Fairbanks, it was about January 74, but I'm not certain. But Boyd Herring and his wife Stella Herring live in Fairbanks. They operated the College Inn grocery store for many years after moving in from the Circle District and living in Fairbanks for many, many years. They have two daughters. One is Dorothy Beislein. The other is Mildred Bettisworth. The name Kitty Hensley is a well-known name in Fairbanks these days among Fairbanks women who work at Alaska Land and devote their time to the Kitty Hensley House and to many others who remember Mrs. Hensley. At any rate, Mrs. Hensley was a member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska, but she died April 2nd, 1931. There's no history on her in the Pioneer Women's History Book. However, there is a clipping or two. There are clippings. One reads, Saturday, April 4th, 1931, Fairbanks Daily News Miner. Mrs. Hensley is buried. Funeral services for Mrs. Katie Hensley were held this afternoon at the Ross Chapel, and interment followed at the Fairbanks Cemetery. The services were conducted by the Pioneer Women of Alaska, of which Mrs. Hensley was a member, with Mrs. D. J. Fairburn, president of the organization, officiating. Hymns were sung by Mrs. F. M. Dunham and Mrs. J. H. Groves. They were accompanied on the organ by Mrs. Fred Hansen. There was a large attendance of pioneer women and men. Pallbearers were Alfred Anderson, Ed Vogt, Archie McIntyre, George Weber, Ed Winthrop, and Joel Ulmer. I'll read from the Fairbanks News Miner when they reported Mrs. Hensley's death. Mrs. Hensley dies in sleep. She is found dead in her cabin this morning by Captain Smythe. The lonely years have ended for Mrs. Kitty Hensley, and today she rests in peace and quiet denied her for much of her life. The little home on 8th and Kellum, where for long she had made her home, became a house of death sometime during the night. In it at 5:30 o'clock this morning, Captain Smythe, a neighbor, found the body of the aged, crippled woman. She had died about 3 o'clock in her sleep and apparently without suffering. She had been ill for the last week but seemed much improved last night when Captain Smythe and Mrs. J.W. Rust, another neighbor, visited her. Captain Smythe had been tending her fires, and it was on that errand he went there this morning. It was in 1904 that Kitty Hensley first came to Fairbanks, and her local residence had been continuous since that time. She came down from Dawson on the Florence S. When she first came here, it is said, she was a fine-looking woman with a splendid carriage and a knack of dressing. But the passing years, privation and disease took their toll. Long ago she threw a hip out of joint and neglected to have it treated. Since then she has been able to make her way about the streets only by pushing a sleigh in front of her so that she might maintain her balance. Mrs. Hensley was about 70 years of age. For some time past, she has been a territorial pensioner. A daughter living in Chicago survives her, and there are other relatives in Michigan. She had a brother in Dawson who intended to join her here, but first he decided to make a trip to Vancouver. He booked passage on the ill-fated Sophia and was lost when that steamship went down in the Lynn Canal. Mrs. Hensley was a member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska, and it is expected that that organization will take charge of funeral arrangements. Bertha Hamilton was born in Charles City, Iowa, and came to Alaska in September of 1901. I don't know when she wrote this little short thing on herself, but she writes, I had continuous residence here since, except twice outside a few months each time. Arrived at Dawson, Yukon Territory via Skagway in September of 1901. Remained there until 1903 in the restaurant business. Arrived in Fairbanks June of 1904. Remained until this date and have been in the ladies' furnishing business since that time here in Fairbanks. Sorry that there's no date on that, but she's probably one of their charter members. Clara J. Holmes Maloney was born in Ohio in 1862, arrived in Nome June 12, 1900. She writes, I sailed in the year of 1900, June 6th from Seattle, Washington, for Nome, Alaska, on the Victoria with 900 passengers. There were 110 women and a crew of 200. The officers were English. There was a newspaper published aboard the boat called The Nugget. I bought the first paper and paid a dollar for it. A man stabbed a woman and the captain put him in irons. Another man died and was buried at sea. We all went to the funeral. The sailors lowered him to the water just as they would a lifeboat. The Considine brothers, who figured in the shooting fray at Seattle in the later years, were also aboard the boat, bound for Nome. Plenty of money changed hands. I landed in Nome, rented a platform, and went to work. Made $35 the first day. Paid $3 per day to keep from standing in the sand on the beach. I rented a house for $15, went out and staked some ground and called it the Clara Claim at cabin 62 foot of sunset. I lived on the sand spit near the Blue Lodging House near Lane's Works. Her married name was Mahoney, M-A-H-O-N-E-Y. When she died, the News Miner carried an article headed, Mrs. Mahoney is summoned today, suffered stroke, found in dying condition at her home, and succumbed shortly after being taken to hospital. At 11 o'clock this morning, only a short time after she had been found lying unconscious in her home, Mrs. Clara Jane Mahoney died at St. Joseph's Hospital. Death was presumably caused by a stroke of paralysis suffered a day or more before her death. Despite the fact that Mrs. Mahoney had lain in the posture in which she was found from the time she suffered the stroke until her home was entered this morning, it is not believed that she suffered pain, as the position of her body indicated that she had not recovered consciousness. It was the custom of neighbors to call on Mrs. Mahoney every few days, as she had not been in the best of health for a long time. But last week she had announced her intention of going to Cripple Creek, where she owned mining property, and believing that she had gone, neighbors felt no alarm when she was not seen about her home. However, they began to worry last night and informed the marshal's office. This morning, Deputy Pat O'Connor entered the house and found Mrs. Mahoney lying on the floor of a bedroom, her face covered with coats that had apparently fallen from a hook. She was still breathing then, and Dr. J.H. Romig's efforts to revive her failed, and death followed soon after she had been removed to the hospital. It is believed that overexertion caused by preparation for the trip to the creeks caused the stroke. Mrs. Mahoney's left arm was badly burned, and there were also burns on her face. Acquaintances said she was careless about starting fires, and the burns may have been caused in this manner. Funeral services will probably be held under the auspices of Pioneer Women of Alaska, an organization of which Mrs. Mahoney was a member. She had been a resident of Alaska since the pioneer days and lived in Fairbanks for many years. Mrs. Mahoney was a widow, her husband Patrick J. Mahoney having been frozen to death here December 25, 1923. It is not known whether any relatives survive her. Another short clipping says that burial services for Mrs. Clara J. Mahoney, whose death due to paralysis occurred last Wednesday, were held at the Legion Hall at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Services were held under the ritual of the Pioneer Women of Alaska, of which Mrs. Mahoney was a member. Music was by a choir composed of Miss Anna E. Rennie, Mrs. J. H. Groves, Mr. M. O. Carlson, Mr. J. M. Pearl, with accompaniment by Mrs. Ed. B. Davis. Pallbearers were J.J. Clausen, Warren Knapp, Leo Prague, Archie McIntyre, Joe Ulmer, and Peter Deiser, D-E-I-S-E-R. Anna Viola Homer was born in Santa Rosa, California, arrived in Alaska in May of 1898. She writes a brief history. I left California early in the spring of 1898. Arrived at Juneau in May, left there in June for Dawson. Walked over the Chilkoot Pass and came in 1901 for Koyukuk. Left there in the fall of 1903, arrived at Nome the same year. Later went to Fairbanks. In the spring of 1908, I went to California for a couple of months, came back to Fairbanks, and left there for Flat Creek Iditarod. Left there in the fall of 1911 and came to Ruby District. In the fall of 1914, I located a homestead about 24 miles above Ruby, where I have a roadhouse and hot springs. Any sister pioneer desiring to come here, I will give special rates and do all I can to make them comfortable. I don't know when Anna Viola Homer entered that in the... Could be in 1916 when the igloo was organized. Another member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska is Ethel Hayes. Born in South Bend, Washington, arrived in Alaska in 1898. We came in over the trail. I was 3 years old at that time and have lived here ever since, with the exception of 10 months. That's the total history on Ethel Hayes. This is John Howie. Was born in Isle of Rute, R-U-T-E, Scotland. Arrived in Fairbanks in June of 1906. She composed no history. When she died, the following article appeared in the local paper. There's no date on this, so I have no way of knowing when she died. Unless I go back and research the papers. Mrs. John Howie passed away at 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon after an illness of several months. For the past few days, Mrs. Howie had been sinking, and an end was not unexpected. She leaves a husband, son, and a host of friends to mourn her passing. Mrs. Howie was born 69 years ago at Rothsay, Isle of Bute, Scotland. She came to Fairbanks in June of 1906 and has resided here ever since. Funeral services for the pioneer woman will be held Sunday afternoon at 1:30 from the Masonic Temple. They will be under the auspices of Midnight Sun Chapter Number 6 OES, Order of Eastern Star, I guess, of which organization Mrs. Howie had long been a member. Mrs. Eric Hard, whose maiden name was Grace M. Rose, was born in 1882, August 27th. She was born at Point Arenas, Mendocino County, California. She arrived in Juneau in July of 1898. She writes of her Alaskan experience. No date on this, so I don't know when she wrote it. She was writing from Ophir, Alaska, so it must have been during the Iditarod Stampede or the activity during the Iditarod Ophir flat area. I arrived on the steamer Cottage City, were wrecked on Wrangell Narrows. After 6 hours hanging on a rock, floated off at high tide and proceeded to Juneau. Among the passengers was Rex Beach. Our party consisted of my sister and husband, Mr. and Mrs. Frank Howard, and sister Emma K. Rose. I had just graduated from business college in California, so soon after my arrival in Juneau, accepted a position as secretary to Judge J.F. Maloney. The only other shorthand reporter in Juneau was a Miss Sullivan, who was the court reporter. The capital then was Sitka, and Miss Sullivan traveled with the court to the different places where cases were held. While she was away, I also took care of any court reporting. I reported the first territorial commission to be held in Alaska. The principal business to come before the commission was regarding the moving of the capital to Juneau. The firm of Maloney and Cobb had some very interesting law cases in those days. I was married in 1901 to Cecil M. Shaver, who was connected with S. Bloom and Company. We purchased a home in Juneau, but left in 1904 for another of the firm's stores in Bakersfield, California, where Mr. Shaver passed away in 1918. Our son was 12 years old. I sold our home and removed to Los Angeles, where I was in business until 1934, when I returned to Alaska with my sister Jessie M. Howard. After a month in Tanana, at the insistence of Judge Colt Hill, my sister took over the commissioner and post office offices in Ophir, Alaska. I had charged the post office until 1936, when I was married in Fairbanks to Eric Hard of Ophir. Our home and interests are in Ophir, where Mr. Hard is engaged in placer mining. Signed, Mrs. Eric Hard, Ophir, Alaska. Mrs. Emma May Johnson, another member of Pioneer Women of Alaska, charter member apparently, was born in Durango, Colorado, arrived in Alaska 15th of March of 1898. Another one of those women who didn't tell much about herself. That's it, period. Then there's Fanny Dell Johnston, Johnston. He's a charter member of the organization. She was born in Michigan in 1857. She arrived in Skagway in 1898. Mrs. Johnston's parents immigrated from Steuben County, New York, in the 40s, crossed the Alleghenies with ox team in a prairie schooner, went to Michigan, where Mr. Wyckoff was elected one of the early sheriffs of Jackson County, Michigan, where Mrs. Johnston was born. Later went to Marquette, Michigan, where she went to school and afterward became one of the teachers of the public schools there. She was married to Charles Johnston in East Saginaw in 1879. Lived in Marquette City for a time, then moved to Alger County, Michigan, from which place they journeyed to Alaska, arriving in Skagway in 1898. From there, they went to Stewart River, Yukon Territory, moving to Fairbanks in 1904. Mrs. Johnston was elected second vice president of Igloo No. 3 Pioneer Women of Alaska at its organization on February 19, 1916. Hannah A. Johnston, another charter member of the organization, born in Sweden, came to Alaska in 1900, gave no history on herself. Then there's a Martha A. Judd, J-U-D-D, born in Iowa, arrived in Alaska June 10th, 1899. She gives a little history on herself. On the 31st day of May, 1899, I left San Francisco for Alaska. Arrived in Skagway on the 10th of June. There, I went to work and worked quite steady until 1909. Up to this time, had not seen a single person that I had ever seen before, was alone, yet had all the friends I needed. Then I went outside, returned in 3 months. In 1914, I went to Fairbanks. In 1916, became a charter member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska, Igloo No. 3. This was my stay in Alaska. Another well-known name in the Pioneer Women circles of Alaska is Mrs. Fanny Joyce. She was born April 2nd, 1885 in Missouri. Looks like O-S-C-E-O-L-A. She arrived in Seward January 1906. At the time I came to Alaska, my name was Mrs. Fanny G. Johnston, who at that time was inspector of bridge building on the railroad known as, that time, as the Alaska Central. For a time I lived in a tent house just where the first big trestle comes in front of the first glacier. My husband came to Alaska in 1898 and mined at Dawson. I'm very much interested in the development of Alaska and plan on staying here and hope to know the members of Fairbanks Chapter Pioneer Women of Alaska better and be a useful member. I am very grateful for the honor of being one of you. Lovingly, Mrs. Fanny G. Joyce, Box 1564, Fairbanks. Her first husband was Ralph Wells Johnston. Frances Louisa Krause, K-R-A-U-S, was born in Canada. She arrived in Nome June 1st, 1900. She writes, I sailed from San Francisco the first day of May 1900 for Nome, Alaska, on the steamer schooner San Pedro. 60 miles out, we encountered a big storm, and the captain put back to Drake's Bay, where we anchored for 2 days. While there, one of the passengers jumped overboard and was drowned. They recovered the body, and the doctor worked over it 1 hour, but the man was dead. They built a box and rowed the body to shore, telegraphing to San Francisco to come and get the body. Then we sailed on our journey to Alaska again. We encountered storms all the way. I used to think the water would come over the boat before we would reach the top of the wave. The water put the galley fire out. The cook had the bread only half baked. The condenser broke, and we were without fresh water for several hours. Finally, we reached Dutch Harbor, remaining there 11 days, waiting for the ice to go out. There were 20 other boats besides ours. Unalaska is about half a mile over the hill, a delightful walk. The foothills fresh and green and covered with flowers. We visited the Greek church, the hospital, and school. It is quite a little town, very unusual and interesting. In Dutch Harbor, we dug the most delicious clams. So with clam stews, fall games, and dances, we were quite gay and happy. At last, we started for Nome. Then we got into the ice and were a couple of days before the captain could find a way out, finally reaching Nome the first day of June, 30 days making the trip. In case I die in Alaska, it is my wish to be buried here in the plainest possible way. Vonda V. Kalning, K-E-L-N-I-N-G, was born in Sweden, arrived in Skagway in 1899. Accompanied by her brother, Swan Magnusson, she came to America in the year 1897. She arrived at Skagway in 1899, remaining there until 1902. In the fall of 1902, she reached Rampart, residing there until 1907. In 1907, she came to Fairbanks. In the year 1909, she was married to A.P. Kalning. She was widowed in 1913. Since that time, she resided in Fairbanks. A clipping from the local paper recalls Mrs. Kalning's death. As Mrs. Kalning is laid final rest, services are held at the Equal Hall under auspices of Christian Science Church, burial here. Funeral services for Mrs. Tora Kalning, who died Friday morning after a long illness, were held from Equal Hall yesterday afternoon. The services were conducted by the Christian Science Church and were led by M. O. Carlson. Hymns were sung by Mrs. C. E. Osborne, accompanied on the organ by Mrs. Alma Bixby. Mrs. Kalning was laid to rest in a grave adjoining that of her husband, who died in 1913. Pallbearers were John L. Sullivan, Oscar Fravel, Sig Goodwig, Carl Nordling, J. Johnston, Charles Lindgren. Switchboard operators from the Fairbanks Telephone Company entered a little card of thanks, saying, We desire to express, through the columns of the News Miner, our sincere thanks to our many friends who so kindly remembered us during the Christmas holiday, and to remind all that the gifts received will be cherished and the spirit given. Card of thanks from the Christian Science Society, or from the to the Christian Science Society from Mr. and Mrs. Swan P. Magnuson. To the Christian Science Society, the Pioneer Women of Alaska, and to all our friends who so kindly assisted and sympathized with us in our recent bereavement of our dear sister, Mrs. Tora Kalnick, we extend our sincere thanks. Another member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska is Georgiana Keyes, K-E-Y-S. She was born in Henderson, Minnesota, November 8, 1863. She arrived in Alaska July 8, 1899. Sorry, there's nothing else on Mrs. Keyes. Cordelia M. Karshner was born in St. Paul, Minnesota, arrived in Skagway May 2, 1900. She writes that she mushed, which means walked, maybe rode, I don't know, but mushed to White Horse in July, was 3 days making the trip. In fall, returned to Skagway and stayed until March of 1902. About July 1, I went to Dawson and Escaw. In 1904, came to Fairbanks. In 1910, went to Hot Springs, married J.F. Karshner, who was the first homesteader in the interior in 1914. He was the first person to make final proof, received patent in November, so I'm a pioneer homesteader, has paved the way for others. She passed away February 4th, 1933, age 72 years old. She was always an interesting member of our lodge and held office of historian at the time of her death. A couple of clippings from the Fairbanks News Miner, dated in 1933, February. Mrs. Karshner to be buried tomorrow. Friends tomorrow will pay final tribute to the memory of a pioneer Alaskan when last rites are held for Mrs. Cordelia M. Karshner. She is to be buried from the Ross Chapel with funeral services starting at 2 o'clock. Mrs. Karshner passed away in St. Joseph's Hospital Saturday, heart trouble being the cause of death. Burial rites are to be under the auspices of the Pioneer Women of Alaska. Mrs. Karshner was a life member of that lodge and only recently took office as historian. Pioneer women are asked to meet at the chapel at 1:45 o'clock. Burial will be in the local cemetery. Before the turn of the century, Mrs. Karshner lived in Victoria, B.C. and Seattle. She first came north in 1900, landing in Skagway in June of that year. From then on, she made her home in the Northland. She and her husband, who died before her, were original settlers in Hot Springs on the Tanana River. Two daughters, both of whom live outside, survive her. St. Paul, Minnesota was Mrs. Karshner's birthplace. Following the service, here's what was written in the paper. Burial services for Mrs. Cordelia M. Karshner, a longtime resident in Alaska, who passed away Saturday, took place this afternoon from the Ross Chapel. Many were present there, and at final rites at the grave, there were many beautiful floral offerings. As a mark of respect to an officer of the lodge and life member, Pioneer Women of Alaska attended the service in a group. Mrs. Karshner was elected historian of the Pioneer Women this winter and has been in office a comparatively brief time. The rites were conducted by the Pioneer Women officers who officiated, being Mrs. Thomas McKinnon, president, Mrs. Jack Sullivan, chaplain, Mrs. Virgil Bailey, sergeant-at-arms, and Mrs. Leo Rogie, acting as historian. Vocal music was by Mrs. F.N. Dunham and Mrs. J.H. Groves, Mrs. P.J. McDonald accompanied on the organ. Pallbearers were Charles Maine, Frank Hodgson, R.C. Rothenberg, Carl Price, R.E. Sheldon, and J.C. McInerney. Saturday morning, Mrs. Karshner knew her hours were numbered, and to a close friend she made a number of requests, among them being a posthumous card of thanks for attention shown her during her illness appear in the News Miner. It was her request that her thanks be extended to her friends and neighbors, the Sisters of St. Joseph's Hospital, and to the Pioneer Women of Alaska. Mrs. Karshner died at 2:15 p.m., February 4th, 1933. Mrs. F. Louise Parsons is another charter member of Pioneers, Pioneer Women of Alaska. She was born in Benton, Minnesota, came to Alaska in 1905, landing first in Juneau. Mrs. Karstens, by the way, is still living as a guest at the nursing wing at the Fairbanks Pioneer Home. The only history she writes in her in the Pioneer Women's historical book is, I was born in Benton Townsite, Carver County, Minnesota. My parents were pioneers of Minnesota. Louise Karstens' husband Harry Karstens was the first man of the pioneer group to climb Mount McKinley in 1912. Charlotte Cuban, born in Roslyn, Washington, arrived in Alaska in June of 1902. This is early 1974, and she's still one of the surviving members of the Pioneer Women of Alaska. No history on her. Mrs. Bertha King, born in Boscobel, B-O-S-C-O-B-E-L, Wisconsin, arrived in Alaska in 1900. She writes, I crossed the Chilkoot Pass in 1898, went to Nome in 1900, came to Fairbanks in 1904, September 3rd, went through all the trials of the pioneer woman, prospected mine, raised a family, and loved Alaska. I am proud to belong to the Pioneer Women and very thankful to God for my health and happiness. I don't know the date on this, but here's a note that Mrs. Laughlin has died. It says, rites take place in Ross Mortuary and remains will be sent to Portland. Funeral services for the late Mrs. Ella Laughlin were held at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon in the chapel of the Hosey H. Ross Mortuary. The rites were conducted by the Reverend R. Roland Armstrong, pastor of the Presbyterian Church. Mrs. Clay Lind and Reverend Mr. Joy sang vocal selections. The remains, accompanied by Mrs. M. W. Ray, sister of the deceased, will be taken to Portland, Oregon for interment. They will leave on next Tuesday's train. Tophia Keith, T-O-P-H-I-A, Keith, K-E-I-T-H, born in Germany, came to Alaska in 1898. Another member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska. No history, no nothing. Probably a magnificent life. That's it. Here's an interesting article. I don't know when it was written, but I think we can figure it out after I read it. Dated Fairbanks, Mr. and Mrs. Charles Strandberg, Alaska pioneers, celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary recently. It was almost 50 years since they came to the North after their marriage in Pennsylvania. The newlyweds got their start at Dawson, where they arrived in 1900. So this is around 1950 this was written. They followed the stampede to Fairbanks around 1904. The year 1909 saw them at Flat, where they remained until 1918. Then followed 17 years residence in the States. But the lure of Alaska brought them back in 1935, and Strandberg has engaged in the contracting business until a stroke forced his retirement a year or so ago. After a siege at the hospital, Charlie recovered sufficiently to return to his home on 9th Avenue, where he has been bedridden, but is still cheerful and able to see visitors. The Strandbergs have three sons, two of whom, Charles Jr. and Art, are carrying on the contracting business, and one, Herb, is in Seattle. Two daughters passed away. Charlie Strandberg is also an uncle of the Strandberg brothers of Anchorage, who have mining operations scattered over Alaska, being a brother of the late David Strandberg. Sarah Frances Latimer, born in Bay Point, California, arrived in Alaska in August, on August 13, 1897. She wrote, "I arrived in Skagway, Alaska, August 13, 1897, first trip of the steamer Williamette. Lived there about 3 years. From there, I moved to Dawson, Yukon Territory, living there until 1904. Then I moved to Seattle, Washington, returned to Fairbanks, Alaska, July 1st, 1915. That's all that Sarah Frances Latimer writes about herself. Apparently she's a charter member of the group. Marcia Latimer Lavery, apparently a sister of the previous Latimer, born in Port Townsend, Washington, arrived in Alaska August 13, 1897. Arrived in Skagway on the steamer Williamette, his first voyage. Moved to Dawson in 1900, came to Fairbanks May of 1905. Mrs. Lavery died in 1949. I'll read an article that appeared in the News Miner on her death. Mrs. Marcia Latimer Lavery, 67, beloved Pioneer Fairbanks resident, died last night at 7:28 p.m. at her home, 523 Fifth Avenue, as a result of an extended illness. A partner in the Lavery's House of Quality, she had retired from active participation in the business more than 3 years ago due to her health, and had been confined to her home since last September. She was a member of St. Matthew's Episcopal Church and active in various organizations, including the Order of Eastern Star, of which she was a past worthy matron, the Serapis Club, and the Pioneers Auxiliary. She was also past Alaskan Regent of the Daughters of the American Revolution and past President of the Pioneer Women's Lodge. Mrs. Lavery was born in Port Townsend, Washington, on February 14, 1882, and came to Skagway during the Gold Rush days, later traveling to Dawson, Yukon Territory, where she was married in 1904 to the late Robert Lavery. A year later, Mr. and Mrs. Lavery arrived in Fairbanks with a scow load of groceries and stocked the first Lavery's House of Quality, located on the corner of 3rd and Cushman. Later, it was changed to 2nd and Cushman. Following the death of Lavery in 1931, Mrs. Lavery assumed the management of the store. According to her friends, Mrs. Lavery was one of the most forward-looking and progressive businesswomen in Fairbanks, and with her husband, an early enthusiast in the field of aviation. With several others, they assisted in the backing of one of the first airlines in Fairbanks and later instilled in their son, William, the enthusiasm to operate his own air service, Lavery Airways. The latter was discontinued last fall. In addition to her other interests, Mrs. Lavery was a devout mother to her four children who survive her. They are R.K. Lavery, William Latimer, and James Valentine Lavery, and Mrs. Helen Lucille Beath. She is also survived by a sister, Mrs. Max Love, two nieces, Mrs. Cliff Benson and Mrs. Joe Canaro, and eight grandchildren. With the exception of one grandchild, all are living in Fairbanks. Funeral services will be conducted by the Midnight Sun Chapter, Order of Eastern Star, at 3:30 p.m. Friday afternoon at the Masonic Temple. Arrangements are being made by the Phillips Mapleton Funeral Home. As a tribute to the Fairbanks pioneer, the following stores will be closed between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. Friday. Lavery's House of Quality, Alaska Jewelers, Fairbanks Cigar Store, Northern Commercial Company, Alaska Market, Lindy's Delicatessen, Fairbanks Grocery, Anderson's Variety Store, and Piggly Wiggly.